Good to be with you on this Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Wednesday means a Wolves midweek around these parts. David Tewksbury along for the ride with you, sir, or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your ears and your eyes on our Facebook feed, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Like I mentioned, Wednesday equals Wolves midweek, as we've got ourselves a fun episode of the program here today. I mean, they're always fun, but in particular today, as we'll be joined in studio by the head coach of the Northern State football team, and you're saying to yourself, Tewks, what are you talking about? It's the first week of February. Why are we talking football? Well, there is a very, very simple answer to that, and the answer would be National Signing Day. So we're looking forward to that conversation. He'll be joining us here live in studio in coming a little less than 15 minutes or so on the program. David Tewksbury along for the ride with Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good, man. How was the trip out there to Bemidji last night?
You know, some good, some bad. Strikes and gutters, you know, ups and downs.
Yeah.
It was an interesting trip back, I will tell you, because the fog was so, so thick.
Huh.
And I don't know if I should say this on the air or not, but we're still moving pretty good at that at a pretty good clip on the highway. And you know, it was kind of one of those situations where it's like I want to get home and try to go to bed as fast as possible, but you know,
heart rate's up a little bit because they're driving way too fast, right?
The fog was a little thick and pedal was to the metal there, so
I get it. You know, want to get home.
Yeah, for sure. But we made it safely. He knew what he was doing, so it's all good. It was an interesting trip back, but I will tell you that happy to be back safe and sound. And kind of an interesting day for sure at the Bemidji State University Gymnasium. You know, sometimes you get these great, grandiose names for stadiums: CenturyLink Field, Soldier Field, War Memorial Stadium. No, just the Bemidji State University Gymnasium. That's what it was. No sponsors. We don't need sponsors. That's just who we are, the Bemidji State
Dakota University. Dakota Bank Stadium.
Right. Yeah, bingo. Yeah, who needs sponsors? We're just going to go ahead and stick with us. This is who we are, the Bemidji State University Gymnasium. So kind of interesting there. An interesting observation. But, yeah, we'll talk about that here in a little bit of time, plus the hashtag SD prep side of things. As Aberdeen Central, they were both in action last night on the girls and boys side of things, and I was doing my best to kind of follow those games last night in the second half of the Northern men's game because it, if I'm being honest, had been kind of decided there late, and I was just keeping my eyes out on what was going on in the AA side of things. And on the boys' side, how about Aberdeen Central? They lose the game, but they were hanging around. They were hanging around. And on the girls' side, same deal. Kind of hung around. Eventually, both teams lost. But I will tell you that I'm not a big moral victory guy, but when you're playing number one Mitchell in both the boys' and girls' side, both Central teams hung pretty tough yesterday.
Yeah, they really did. And covering the girls' game there yesterday, too, at Golden Eagles Arena, it was a two-point game with 3 minutes left. Lauren Burkhardt hit a big layup. Aberdeen Central was trailing Tewks 41-29 in the fourth quarter. They go on a 10-0 run, get it to 2 points, and then Mitchell, out of a timeout, goes on a 10-0 run to end the game. Hit two big threes down the stretch there, and a big difference in the game, Tewks, is turnovers. Aberdeen Central, 27 turnovers to Mitchell's 13. That's the difference of the game right there. And you got to give credit to that Mitchell squad, too, because they've had a lot of close calls this year. But it seems like when the game matters the most at the end, they find a way to win, and they did it there last night. But Aberdeen Central, like you said, some positives to take away from the girls' side of things. And the boys, too, because they were down by, you know, 15 at one point, and they were just hanging around in there. Fritz was doing his thing. Parker Lamar with a good offensive performance. Jet Carlson also had a nice game. You got to look at it and say, if you're Aberdeen Central, to come away with a split against number three Harrisburg, or number two at the time, Harrisburg, and Mitchell, I think you're going to take that every day of the week, really. And I think you took some strides over the course of the last two games.
Yeah, anytime you can split with two teams that are in the top five, top three more specifically, top two, you'll take that every single day of the week. And I think there's a lot to draw from those games from the Aberdeen Central perspective. So we'll talk about that here very briefly and more from the hashtag SD prep side of things, along with Mr.
Unlimited.
Yeah, you know, he of course is the Cobra. David Tewksbury here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Mike Schmidt joins us in less than 10 minutes for a Wolves midweek edition of the show for National Signing Day. The Wolves football schedule also coming out last week, so we'll talk about that and much more with Coach Schmidt here live in studio in about 10 minutes on the program. But first and foremost, let's get to the jump here today, keeping it local on the high school side of things. Aberdeen Roncalli getting off the schneid. They had kind of an up-and-down week last week, losing down south in Madison against the Vermilion squad in that DAC 12 NEC clash. They got back to their winning ways, downing Miller last night, 60-48. Ava Hansen with 22 points. McKenna O'Keefe also with the Baker's dozen in that one. Very solid from the free throw line. Morgan Colda drops in a game-high 31 points. That doesn't happen very often against an Aberdeen Roncalli defense where one player just goes off, but maybe that was the kind of the game plan from Derek Larson. Like, we'll let her do her thing. We'll shut everybody else down. We'll win the ball game.
Yeah, this game, Tukes, was actually 28-12 at one point. Aberdeen Roncalli led, and then Morgan Colda just went absolutely bananas from the floor. And sometimes when somebody's feeling it like that, you just got to say, we're going to do our best. She's going to get hers.
Yeah.
But we got to stop everybody around them. And Aberdeen Roncalli was great down the stretch from the charity stripe. Tukes Doctrine says make your free throws. 10 out of 12 from the line. They ice the game.
Yep, Tukes Doctrine says make your free throws in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter. Yeah, down the stretch matters, but they matter even less if you make them in the first, second, and third. So Tukes Doctrine says make your free throws. That always drove me crazy. Doesn't matter where we're talking, high school, college, pro, make your free throws. I almost said something there that I didn't want to say. Okay, moving on to the other side of things from Aberdeen Christian, and they'd be taking on the Ipswich squad. 40-24, your final score there as Ipswich. They've had kind of a down year, but they picked up a nice victory by 16 over the Knights of Aberdeen Christian. Jalissa Hudson with 10 points there, also making it rain from downtown. She shot 60% from beyond the curve on five attempts. Aberdeen Christian was led by Jolie Fogarty's 8 points, five boards, and three assists. Aberdeen Central girls, we mentioned them here briefly, 51-39, your final score there. Lauren Burkhardt with 17 points and five boards. Taryn Hermanson, near double-double, 9 points and seven rebounds. But you give the other squad 14 more possessions. That's really what it really kind of comes down to.
Yeah, and Mitchell had 17 steals as a team. Ended the game on a 10-0 run, and Sawyer Stabner was spectacular for the Colonels. 20 points, nine steals, six assists, and Lauren Van Overshield, Tukes, I mean, hit some big threes down the stretch. 4 out of 7 from downtown, and when the game was a two-point game, she hit 2 threes on back-to-back possessions and really put the game on ice.
That's kind of what it felt like with the Northern men's game last night. Every time the men were about to make a big run, it was 17, got it down to 14, got it down to 11. All right, here we go, and then you surrender back-to-back threes. Boom, it's back up to 17. They just could never get over that hump, so kind of a similar situation there. Krista Longauger joins the 1,000 points club. Sisseton was all over Milbank, 63-34. Do you think they were fired up after losing that Sioux, was it Sioux Falls Christian squad last weekend?
Yeah, they lost to Sioux Falls Christian, a game where they probably should have won if they made some free throws. Tukes Doctrine says make your free throws.
There you go.
They bounced back against the Milbank team, and congratulations to Krista. She's just been awesome for Sisseton over the past couple years. And her breakout game was against Milbank, oddly enough, when she burst on the scene in her freshman year. So kind of funny how she had a big 30-plus point game in that first time she played Sisseton,
mm-hmm.
or first time she played Milbank. And then
1,000
points against Milbank, too. Pretty cool.
Wow. So what goes around
comes around.
Comes around, I guess. You can word it like that. Kyra Markison with 11 as Warner. They get past Redfield with ease, 52-27. Harriet Selby over Wakapala, 54-44 last night. Mobridge Powell all over Timberlake, 54-15. Florence Henry gets 18 from Taylor Watson and a dozen from Kaylin Kelly, 30 combined of the 45 to down Castlewood on the road, 45-26. You've been talking about that Florence Henry squad. You say just keep an eye out for them, and they continue to do nice things on the road.
Yeah, I just feel like they're a little bit under the radar in Class A. This is a team that only lost 3 games last year, having a great season this year. I think they got a little sour taste after last year not getting to the state tournament just because they got knocked out of the playoffs early. And talking to head coach Coach Reed, you know, he sees a little fire with this team right now. And Taylor Watson and Kaylin Kelly have been a big reason why that Florence Henry team been so good this year.
And two really good volleyball players there, too. Faulkton defeats Potter County on the road, 59-57. Carly Cotton doing Carly Cotton things. She had 21, a game high. Hitchcock Tulare gets past Highmore Herald by 4 at home. Caitlin Schroeder had 16. For more high school news and notes on the girls' side, visit our website, on HubCityRadio.com. Boys basketball from last night. Roncalli squeaks past Miller 52-50 after stubbing their toe against Milbank at home. They win on the road, and Keegan Stewart with a game-winning layup with 4 seconds to go. He had 23. Maddox Miller, that whole Batman and Robin bit, they were doing their thing last night in Miller for sure.
Yeah, and great win for Roncalli. They just kept on fighting there to the end, a back-and-forth game, and sometimes you just got to give the ball to your best player, and Stewart's been their best player all year, and they said, hey, Coach Gallagher said, hey, get a bucket here and take us home. He did that. Congratulations to Roncalli. I'm telling you, they grind out games, and they're a gritty group, I think.
Not quite a buzzer beater, but pretty close.
Yep.
4 seconds left, so again, that year of the final shot has been kind of actualized once again there, and one matchup I think both of us had circled, Aberdeen Christian against Ipswich. We thought these two teams had been kind of trending in different directions. Christian a little bit high. Ipswich has been kind of stubbing their toe a little bit too. And we thought this would be a great game. Turned out to be. Aberdeen Christian wins by 4, 67-63. Becker Bosma had 24 points. Bosma, that is. He had 24 points. Joey Johnson, 18 points, 7 boards. Ellis Russell had 10. Brooks Jett with 11. Balance, balance, balance for Aberdeen Christian. They just get past Ipswich on the road. That's a really quality road win.
Yeah, check this out, Tuke. So Ipswich actually scored the first 8 points of this game, and then Aberdeen Christian ended the quarter 17-3 run.
Oof.
They hit 13 threes in this game, and looking at this Aberdeen Christian team right now, that's a team I don't want to play.
Yep.
I mean, they had a lot of guys in double figures last night. Becker Bosma, 24 points. Joey Johnson, he's almost a walking double-double, it seems, at this point. Didn't quite have it on the rebounds, but you could pretty much pencil him in for 15, it seems like, every night. And then, you know, Ellis Russell, I think a low-key performance for him. 10 points and dished out 7 assists. I mean, you look at this Aberdeen Christian team, 8-game win streak. They started 1-4, and Ipswich, who started 10-1, has now lost 5 of 6 and now are 11-6, so...
Every time there's, like, week 15, 16, 17 in the NFL, it's like there's that one team you just don't want to play. Well, right now on the high school basketball side, that is Aberdeen Christian. Just the way they're playing right now. Nobody wants to play them because they are arguably the hottest team, or at least one of the hottest teams in Class B.
No, I was looking at the mock playoffs that they have on the SD Scores app.
Sure.
Their first-round matchup would be, or on the mock app there, it had Aberdeen Christian versus the Smet in a Sodak 16 game.
Are you kidding me?
That would be pretty fun, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'd be jacked for that. I think that'd be a fantastic matchup. Here we are, first full week of February, and you're already talking
playoffs. Just, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
playoffs?
I was doing a deep dive last night.
Playoffs?
Really sunk your teeth into it, huh?
Yeah, I was like, there was a mock. Basically, they just did it off of PowerPoints, and they just predicted it off of how many PowerPoints everybody has. So Aberdeen Christian was, I think, a 13 seed in the Sodak 16, and they were taking on a number 4 seed, the Smet. I'm like, oh, I kind of want to see that.
Yeah,
if that happens.
I'd be all in on that, that's for
also,
sure.
Also, another matchup they had, Faulkton and 11, taking on your boys, Faith.
Oh, okay.
That could be pretty interesting.
That
like a 6 and 11.
Yeah.
You like that?
I can 11 over a 6 love right there.
Yeah.
I could see that. Lane Cotton doing his thing. We'll see. And we've got a full, what, two weeks-ish left to go of the regular season, maybe a little less than that. So should be very, very interesting. Very briefly on the college side from last night, Northern State defeating Bemidji State on the women's side, 64-50. Almost a program record from Rio from the steals perspective. She had 8 steals, almost had 9, and Rihanna Phillippe so close to that. She had 18 points, but Morgan Fiedler, my gal, she had 19 points, a career high. She was fantastic, and Mo Scheiste doing her thing once again there, and we got to give her some love because she's big into the Joe Burrow, big Joe Burrow fan.
Yeah.
Joe Scheiste, she goes, well, some people call me Mo Scheiste. So Mo Scheiste, big game for her, career high, and the Northern guys, they would fall to Bemidji State, 86-70. Jackson Mone had 17, but it wasn't enough because John Sutherland and Dalton Albright both just had nights, 28 and 26 respectively. They were all over the boards, and Northern just had no answers for those guys. Coming up next on the show, we're getting into the meat of our Wolves midweek. Head coach Mike Schmidt joins us live in studio for National Signing Day 2024. Rocking and rolling on this Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. The leader of the pack is Mike Schmidt. He joins us here live in studio. I'm David Tewksbury alongside Matt McClure, and you're a cultured guy. You know your music. Any idea who this is?
I have no idea who this is.
The Pumpkins.
Oh, okay.
Big Smashing Pumpkins.
I should have known that.
I thought you'd know the Pumpkins.
I did work with a guy who was super into like 90s alternative and was always playing stuff. I'm not a deep tracks kind of guy. Mm. You know, I like 90s alternative. Just not a deep cuts kind of guy. You know, I'm not the guy sitting buying all those what were those records you'd buy 12 for a penny back in the day. You'd
sure.
get that mailed to you, and like I'm not sitting there just, you know, hovering around the deep tracks of all these things. I should be. I'm not.
Okay, that's fair. I mean,
I feel like that's a slight to 90s alternative.
Really?
Yeah, I thought.
I mean, you want to talk about baseball cards, and you want to talk about guys who play, you know, Gary Gaetti, and you want to, you know, whoever we want to talk, Will Clark, and whatever we want to talk about there, I'm all over it.
Okay.
But I'm not slighting 90s alternative. Enlighten me on 90s alternative.
I thought Smashing Pumpkins was more like 90s rock. Is that the same thing?
I feel like 90s alternative is definitely the Pumpkins, for sure.
Okay, maybe I'm just not hearing it right.
Well, I don't know. I grew up in sort of that era to a certain degree, and my brother was a huge Pumpkin fans growing up. And
like, I feel like that's hard rock, no? Or am I crazy?
At the time, they were considered alternative.
Yeah, that's not. I wouldn't say that's heavy, right? We're talking Metallica,
yeah.
And that would be
more on that
side, right? That's metal and rock, and
you're right. Yeah. Okay, you're right.
Yeah, it's weird because some stuff that was considered pop then is now considered rock now. It's like Britney Spears, oh, this is soft rock. What are we talking about
right.
here?
Soft rock.
It's definitely not soft rock, but that's a whole nother story. I got to give you a sounder here, Coach. Every time you pop into the studio, we got to drop in one of these. Is that okay? You good with that?
I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. I've been getting a lot of, there's been a lot of tattoo talk around me lately, and I'm thinking about going heavy Wolves tattoo here.
Just
I got to
right
get,
here.
I don't know, something on my heart, on my chest. I don't know. So any listeners out there, send me something that we can do something with. I'm all in, I'm all Wolves, the Howl, anything. I'm in.
All right.
Yep.
Well, a big day today for sure. It's National Signing Day. We're going to talk about a lot of these guys for sure. But what's been the last couple months looking like for you? I mean, there's been so much stuff going on. Schedule just came out last week. But what's the last couple months been looking like for Mike Schmidt?
Yeah, and I talked to you guys about this the last time that I was out here, and we talked about the end of the season, and it's just not a really fun time. It's like a collaboration of all these things that come together. You're ending your season. You're moving into more so heavy recruiting. Not that you're not doing recruiting, but then the transfer portal, and you're really trying to – that's such a race, and it's really stressful, and it changes every day, and there's just so much stuff happening there. To then your guys come back in January, and you start your workouts, your transfers come in, you're finishing up recruiting, official visits every single weekend. So it's a very you're kind of wearing, you almost are in and out of different jobs all the time this time of the year. You're being coach, you're trying to balance scholarships, so you're doing some accounting, you're into the recruiting side of things on both sides, transfer, trying to keep your own guys. It's really a mix of a lot of different times that kind of happen these couple months. We get to this point, and then we can really transition truly into, you know, we'll start recruiting for next year, but then we transition into spring football and kind of get into more football now. So it's been a really fast race. I'm really proud of our staff. They've done a great job in the recruiting side of thing. They've really worked really, really hard. There's pressure on us. We feel that, and we've really embraced that pressure, and our staff has done a great job.
Coach, you guys opened at Vermillion. The schedule came out there last week. First time playing USD since 1997. That's 26 years now. When you see that game on the schedule, pretty cool, right?
Yeah, and great job by Nate Davis, our athletic director. Hats off to him and putting the work together to make that happen. That's who makes that happen. It's not me or anybody there. That's Nate and doing a great job scheduling that game. I'm really excited for our guys with that. What a great experience. What a great crowd. What a great opportunity. You know, I think from a coach's perspective, you look at it and say, you know, you're going to get exposed. Every bit of your weakness will be exposed in that football game. And that's a really good team that's coming back. It's a top 10 FCS team. It's a playoff team with a lot of players back. They're virtually their whole roster's back. And they have a tremendous quarterback. And it's going to be a lot of fun you're going to get exposed. You're going to figure out what you got to get better at. You can't hide anything. There's no excuses there. And so, I think we're just really excited for that opportunity as a coaching, from a coaching side of it. And what do we have to lose? Let's go down there and play really, really hard and put up a game. And I think it'll be great for our supporters to be down there and get a chance to see us play that. And then I think on a personal side, you know, for me, when I was at UW Lacrosse, I was a Division III football player. We played SDSU twice. We played USD twice. We played Duluth. We went 4-2 in those games. And so for me, playing those teams was such a great opportunity, but it signaled the change in, hey, we're stepping up. We're trying to make a very strong opponent here to figure out, hey, how do we got to compete, recruit, practice, train, put all of that together. I think just from a player side of it, your mentality changes when you got to play a team that's one of the best in the country at the next level up. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and of course, you finish in the Dome last year, so why not start the new year in a Dome?
Start it off again. Yeah, we'll be ready.
Yeah, there you go. Looking forward to that. So you mentioned pressure, of course. Good old-fashioned shout-out to Diamond Jim. And we talked about that in the pregame show last year. So Diamond Mike in 2024.
That's right.
We'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. But you mentioned the transfer portal. You guys signed 13 guys. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of break down that class and what they look like?
Yeah, you know, we really wanted to add some guys that were going to be, you know, obviously we want to add players that are going to be good on the field for us. But we really wanted to add some guys that were going to be great locker room, program guys, protect the locker room as much as we possibly could. And that takes a lot of work. That takes a lot of calling their coaches, their position coaches, their head coaches, their high school coaches to figure out who these kids are in a short amount of time. And it's been really fun watching them this past week really assimilate into the team and be a part of the team. We've got some great, great players in there, some great talent. Kind of a fun one. We signed an Aussie punter from Western Kentucky. He's literally one of the best. He's probably the best punter in college football, all of college football. He's out of Division I clock. He played 8 years of professional Aussie rules football. Back home before coming to the States. He was a freshman All-American in 2022 at Western Kentucky. Tom Allard is his name. he is just a lot of fun what a great weapon that will be for us, having a punter that's like that. But, you know, there's a bunch of guys in that group, but it's just a great group of people, a great group of teammates and guys that really fit the program. And I said this in the release, like you're trying to add transfers to enhance, not to replace. You're trying to up competition. And my favorite story is Hunter Troutman. You know, we brought in transfer quarterbacks to compete with Hunter Troutman. That had never happened really here recently at Northern State. Everybody was offended for Hunter Troutman, except Hunter Troutman. He just said, I'm not bothered by that. He went to work, competed, got better, and had the best single season in Northern State football history for a quarterback. That's what transfers are meant to do. It's meant to enhance the competition, not replace. And so I thought we really did that with a great group that's here.
Iron's supposed to sharpen iron, right?
You got it. That's biblical. Something like that.
Hey, all right. I like that. Aussies, by the way, are just by nature good punters. Michael Dixon for the Seahawks, great punter.
That's like a dream come true for me, having an Aussie punter. So I'm pumped. To have Tom Allard.
Yeah, lock it up.
I remember when you were talking about the transfer portal last time, you were talking about you want guys that want to be here. Could you just talk about the importance of that when you were on the transfer portal?
Yeah. I mean, our questions to them were very specific. You know, we had a good system on how we were figuring out what kind of guys we wanted. You know, as we were talking to them and asking them a certain set of questions that I would ask every guy on a FaceTime and our coaches would ask on a FaceTime, you know, we were trying to find out what they're really going to be about. Did they just want to come here and try to play? You know, why were they leaving their previous school? Because a guy who has a problem with a coach at his previous school, guess what's going to happen when he gets here? He's going to have a problem with his coach. That doesn't leave the guy. That's not the, you know, coaches are coaches, whatever. If you have a problem with a coach, you're going to bring that same baggage. We didn't want that part of it here as well. We want a guy who said, I want to play more. I want a better chance to compete for a championship. I want to play at a better level, things like that. You know, we were really trying to look for the impetus of why they wanted to go in the transfer portal. If a guy said, hey, I'm coming, I want to go to the NFL or anything like that, crossed off the list. That can't be the purpose. You have to be trying to come here and help us win and help us further our football program. If a guy was like, hey, you know, I just want to win so bad and I don't care if I got to do it myself, well, no player can do it themselves. So that's a huge red flag for us. If a guy said, hey, you know, I don't if he was out with our players and we had them almost as spies, they were interviewing the guys just as the guys were interviewing us, you know, to get here, saying, you know, if there's nothing to do or what do you do here, then you're not for us. Like, you know what you're getting into coming out here. And so we had a really good system of figuring out who these guys were, how they were going to mesh in, what their purpose for being in the transfer portal was, and then what their purpose and what they were trying to find at the next step. And so if they had certain things that were red flags for us, we were off of them. And there was a lot of good players we left out there that we saw go to other places. We feel like we got the group that's truly going to help us win football games next year.
So it sounds like after the interview, you knew right away if this guy was going to be a Northern State Wolf.
Yes,
right?
Was in or out. You know, like, again, so if I call a kid, he's 20 years old in the transfer portal and he lives in wherever. He lives in, I don't know, whatever, Texas. And you say, hey, you know, I would love to have you come up and visit Northern State. And he says, sure, I'll come up visit Northern State. Are you paying for the plane? And you say, yeah. You paying for my hotel? Yeah. You pay for my food? Yeah. I mean, that it's like the whole concept behind condos and selling vacation places in Aspen is that South Park did a whole episode on this. That, you know, you're if it's free and everybody can just go on a trip for free, then they're not really serious buyers. They're not serious about what they're doing. So you also try to find guys that want to put some skin in the game. You ask them if they'd be willing to pay for half the ticket. You're going to pay for it, but are they willing to put some skin in the game to see if they could do that? So I think there's a lot of ways to figure out if a guy's actually serious about your place. And I think there's a guys that will give you, if you let them talk long enough, they'll tell you who they really are. And I think that's the key, is we just got to be in front of them as much as we can to figure a lot of that stuff out, so they're not just coming on a free vacation, they're not just coming to check us out, and that we're guys that were serious. And I think all 13 that we signed are guys that love this place, love what we're trying to do, and we really wanted to protect the locker room and felt like we did just that.
It's kind of like when you're dating a girl for a long time and the check comes, and at least she kind of reaches out just a little bit, just a little reach, and you say, oh, I like her.
That's a pretty good girl. Yeah,
you know, just a little reach. She doesn't have to go all the way across and grab it, but it's just a little reach. I think that's a big deal.
I would think that women should be doing that for men. That should be the big one. Is the guy reaching across or not? Even if you're going to let it pay, at least he offered to get there. You know, if there's a guy out there that's not doing that, run away. That's the guy in your locker room you don't want, right?
Yeah. For the record, I did pay for my wife and I's first date. I think that's just want to let that out there, just so everyone knows out there on the old Facebook, yes, and all that good stuff. So it all worked out.
We knew you would. You're a stand-up guy.
Oh, thank you.
We never had a doubt.
I appreciate that. All right, more with Mike Schmidt coming up next. We're going to get into the National Signing Day festivities. We'll talk about some of these guys coming up next on FSA. Big Smashing Pumpkins Day for some reason here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Good to be with you on this Wolves midweek edition of the show. And we went from melancholy, now we're back to Siamese Dream. You're picking up what I'm putting down, right?
I'm picking it up. And it is, you know, it's kind of a Smashing Pumpkins kind of day weather-wise outside right now, right?
Yeah, you got
the hoodie on, like, you guys both come back late last night from working and all that kind of stuff. It's National Signing Day for us. It's, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, curl up on the couch kind of days and watch The Wire. Or start a show from 18 years ago that we haven't started yet in 18 years.
Hey,
right?
I told you, I started The Bear. It's good.
The Bear is good. I'm going to take that recommendation.
Yeah, you're going to like The Bear. High pace, quick episodes, fun.
Foul language. Is there a lot of foul language in that show? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I've watched like the first 5 minutes, and I think it was interesting from what I saw, but I really couldn't.
It's one of those, if you have it on in the background and you're doing something else, You're going to be lost. It's one you got to pay attention to.
And that's why I didn't watch it, because I was working on other stuff. And I was like, I'm probably losing a lot of key storylines here, so I'll punt for now.
I did tell you off the air, I did watch an episode of Cheers last night.
Proud of you.
Or no, the other night.
Proud of you. You've really, I mean, we're back a long way. There's a lot of TV episodes we're going to have to watch from Cheers till now.
First episode, 1983.
God, I hope you live to be like 125 years old, because that's what you're going to need here to start catching up.
Well, all right. Let's catch up with these new guys coming into town. We've got National Signing Day here today. It's a big day for sure. You guys have an event at Loggers coming up later on here tonight. We'll talk about that here in a second. But big day for you guys here today, and the work has been put in to get today. What does this day kind of mean to you as a head football coach?
Well, I think it's really special for the players. You know, for us, it just is what it is. We've had these commitments, and, you know, there's some officiality to it, but a lot of guys you've had committed for a long time. You know, I think we're trending towards an early signing day in Division II football so that we can some of these guys have been committed since, you know, July and August, and it's like, well, let's get this thing over with and get it done. So I think we're trending towards an first week in December, last week in November kind of signing day period for Division I and for us, and we need to mirror that thing too so that we can have two separate ones. But, you know, a bulk of ours will always be here. But, you know, I really think it's just for the guys. It's for the players. It's kind of a fun day for them and really cool to be a part of. I think it's great for their high school programs to say, you know, this is what can happen if you work really hard and you're a good kid and you get good grades. You can get, you know, part of or most of or all of your school paid for. And I think that's just such a wonderful message to help, you know, the kids for the next thing, that they get to see that. And, you know, people have been, you know, we even had a kindergarten signing day here in Aberdeen. My daughter's going into kindergarten next year, and you have a kindergarten signing day.
Wow.
And you create a day like that. So a lot of people have even mimicked this kind of same concept throughout other things in life. So it's just a really neat day for those who are signing and pretty cool. And I think it's great for our supporters. You get a chance to show off all the guys that we have coming and get a chance to talk about the future.
So your daughter's like, do I go to this hat? Do I go to that hat?
She was really – she still hasn't coming up yet. Now she's fully committed to kindergarten.
Okay.
Because the government tells her to. So she's fully committed to kindergarten, but she's going to make a decision here between CC Lee and that's where mom works at. And, you know, obviously right across the street we have May Overby from Northern. So it's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be an interesting decision.
Of course, the transfer portal is always open.
She can transfer at any point in time. So the transfer portal is always open. You're right. So I guess it doesn't really matter. All these guys can just leave and decommit or leave whatever. So it doesn't matter. I mean, with that being said, you know, I'd like to enter my name in the transfer portal. We haven't had a lot of "with that being said" lately because there's a lot of them before. So with that being said, you know, Annie is going to be announcing her she's transferring from CC Lee to May Overby or something like that.
Is there a graphic for that? I don't know.
I'll make one.
You'll make the graphic?
I'll make one for her for sure.
Outstanding. All right, so let's talk about some of these guys coming in. Let's talk on the South Dakota side of things first. I know you guys have a lot of local guys, one down south right here from Warner, another guy out west. I know you're really kind of high on in Cade Kaiser. So let's talk about these guys.
Yeah. What a class in South Dakota. 21 kids from South Dakota were signing today. Really proud of that. You know, that's always going to be our goal, is to dominate South Dakota, but we dominated it this year. You know, you can look across the board at pretty much every position, and we just owned it from Cade Kaiser, and he was really one of our first big commits in the state, and we end up flipping him from one place to another here and getting him to come with us. What a great season and career he had up here, and obviously capped off with a state championship. Mason Stubbe from Del Rapids caps his season off with a state championship there. Those are two of the best players in the state. And one guy who's been really an unheralded guy is Jackson Grevengood from Roosevelt. Their team didn't have a great season this year. He is one of the best players we've seen from this state in the last few years. He is marvelous. He is just such a good skilled player. So to get those guys, to get Tate Crossweight from out west and add him into this mix, plus all of our local guys, Brody Sauerwine has a grandfather played here and from right down the road in Warner, and our Aberdeen Central guys that are all coming here. It's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of great talent. And we dominated South Dakota. We wanted to, and we did. And our coaching staff did a great job finding those guys, developing those relationships. And I could not be more happy with where we're at with our in-state guys.
Outstanding.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned a guy like Cade Kaiser, you know, played quarterback, can certainly play, you know, all kinds of different positions on the field. So when you have a skill guy like that, it's I guess on you as a coach to try to find the position that's right for him.
I mean, he'll be a wide receiver for us, and that's what he was before. You know, that's just a kid. When we met him, when we knew him, when we found out more about this kid and just who he is, he was the one we had to get. He was the priority, just because that's a guy that is a program changer. The way he is, the leader he is, the worker he is, the competitor. When you're just around Cade Kaiser, he just oozes confidence and maturity and competitiveness. And it's just like that guy is going to make 50 other guys better every single day just being around him. And having the pedigree there that he has, his father playing here and the kind of guy that he is, that family's incredible. And so to have his sister playing volleyball here and for him to get here, it was just a no-brainer for us that was the priority. Cade Kaiser was a guy we knew we had to get this entire time. It came down to the wire. We didn't think we were going to get him there for a little bit. We had to do a little more work to get him, and Coach Schlichty did a great job there. But Cade's going to play for us next year. He's going to play for us as a freshman right away. He's just that kind of an athlete, a talent, a competitor. He's just a guy that has it.
Mike Schmidt joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. I'll give you one more of these just because it is National Signing Day, and we're talking about all these new guys coming in. That was my next question, is how do you figure out guys that you're going to redshirt? How do you figure out guys that can come in and play immediately? What does that kind of conversation look like?
Well, I think some of those guys you just know by recruiting them. You just look at them and say, I mean, we got two D linemen from Texas. Kai Rigdon, his father Nick, coached here and was a grad student here for a little bit here in town. Nick lived or Kai, his son Kai Rigdon, lived here in Aberdeen for a year or two growing up. So kind of a cool story to get him back here. But you just look at that kid. He's a three-star recruit out of Texas. Went to a prep school in New Hampshire. Guy's going to be a player. Yeah. Like, you just look at the guy. He's going to be a player. Miles Silas was offered at Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, Iowa State, out of Hortonville, Wisconsin. He's a three-star recruit. He's going to play next year. You just look at those guys and you know. I knew the second day I watched Jake Adams run around, not even in pads. I'm like, we got to get Jake Adams ready to play now, this year, right now, and ends up coming in and starting those last few games for us this year as a true freshman. There's just kids you know. You just know that they have that. Noah Mooring Lane is a kid out of Texas that we signed. I mean, guy walks in the room like, yep, that guy looks like a player right now. And the way he plays and the physicality that he has, you just know he's going to be a player next year. And so there's some of that. Now this new redshirt rule where they can play in three games and still retain the redshirt, we can figure out a lot more about them. I think that's a guy like Gabe Gutierrez this year who we watched play in his three games. We're like, well, this kid's special. He just has some different stuff to him. So it's really a lot of figuring that out early on now just by watching them, their measurables, what they do, how they play. But then, you know, once they get here, it's watching all the little stuff, because that's what really separates those guys, like a Jake Adams, like a Gabe Gutierrez, is how hard do they practice? How much time do they put into that? How good are they on special teams? Because that's the essence of football, blocking, yeah, running, tackling in space. And so I think you get a chance to get your hands on to see some of those guys. But then there's just some guys who are just different. You know, Cade Kiser is a guy who's just different. And just as a person, he doesn't need to develop anymore. He's played in all these consecutive state championship games. He's shined in the brightest moments. How much more do we need to know about him? It's why I watch Michael Penix and I watch Bo Nix playing in the Senior Bowl. Are you kidding me? What more do we need to know about Bo Nix? He played at Auburn and Oregon on the biggest stage for 17 years. What more do we need to watch about Bo Nix to know he's a player or can't play in the NFL? Cade Kiser, same way. You can obviously know he's going to be able to play.
No, I had a bad pro day. His draft stock just dropped. It's like, what are we doing here?
Bo Nix played for 24 years as a starter in the SEC and the Pac-12. We don't know if he can play or not. We need to put him in the Senior Bowl. Give me a break.
Tell Mike.
Bo Nix was playing college football when I was like a junior in college.
Yeah.
And then he transferred to Oregon. I'm like, this guy's still playing. Same with Penix. He went to Indiana and then had that special year at Washington last year. But, Coach, this might be a dumb question, but, like, do guys take being, you know, when you say, hey, we're going to redshirt you, do guys take that different ways? Like, do they –
I always say it's kind of a group decision between them, their parents, and me, so that everybody's in the loop on this to figure out, like – because what all we can do coming out of throughout their first year is say, you are this spot. If you want to play in games and you want to run down on kickoff two times a game, or, you know, hopefully for us, like 12 times a game, mm-hmm, right? Because you kick off a bunch.
Yeah, yeah.
You want that, then that's your choice. I can put that guy out there. But if he doesn't want that, you know, Jake Adams came into me and said, Coach, I need to play. I don't care if it's just on special teams. I don't care if it's here or there. I just want to play. I want to help the team. I want to win right now. I'm here in college to play football. I want to play right now. Luke Gunderson was the same, you know, same talking point when we were there a couple years ago. Wyatt Block was a kid that was the same kind of discussion point. You know, it's up to that kid. If he says Gabe Gutierrez is a guy who wanted to play so bad but knew he needed a year to develop to be a starter, and he knows he has the ability to be a four-year starter. So Gabe Gutierrez wanted to be a four-year starter. Well, he wasn't going to start this year. So to him, he says, I want to be a four-year starter. Jake Adams could start this year. He says, I want to be a four-year starter. Well, he can start this year now. So it's really, it's different for each guy, and all we can tell them is where you are at on it. And some of them, like Gabe, were like, hey, we really want you to stay back so that you can dominate for these next few years. You're going to be in school for that 4.5 years, whatever. But some guys are going to leave and go, they want to go to PT school. They want to go to another school after they're done with their 4 years here. So they want to get moving on with their life instead of, you know, what we're seeing so much of is guys that want to just stay in college for 7 or 8 years. You know, I think what we see most of the time is the opposite, is we see guys who want to move on with their life, realize that, and they want to help this year's team however they can. And then on the backside, they're moving on to PT school or OT school or whatever they're going to go on and do in life. And they want to kind of get moving on to that. So there's a lot of different factors that kind of come into that.
Now look at that 28-year-old guy at the U. I mean, holy cow.
What are we doing?
It's just nuts.
9 seasons?
Yeah, but he's probably getting you know, 150 in NIL, like at least just on a base level pay. That's what those guys are getting paid right now, just to be on the team. So I don't know. Can he get a better job than making 150 and sitting around and blocking every, you know, 5 plays? Sounds pretty good to me. Pay me $150,000 to work out and then go block some people in front of 100,000 people. That sounds awesome to me. So I guess I can't blame him.
Yeah, we're in the wrong position here. But that's pretty incredible for sure. More with Mike Schmidt coming up next. We are talking National Signing Day. Final segment with Coach Schmidt after this. Final segment on this Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. A little less than 5 minutes to go on this transfer portal day. It's National Signing Day. That's really what we're talking about here. National Signing Day 2024. Mike Schmidt, head coach of the Northern State Football Squad, joining us here live in studio. And as always, thanks again for taking some time. Big day for you guys for sure. We talked about some of the South Dakota guys. Let's take a little bit more of a deep dive into some of these guys and who you're looking forward to.
Well, I think one guy that's really intriguing for us is Azariah Antonio from our quarterback of the future from Anchorage, Alaska. Well, is pretty fun that we get a guy from Anchorage. He's got some family ties to this area. Brother played at Sioux Falls. He's got a brother that lives in Morris, Minnesota. So there's some, you know, really cool connections there. I had coached his quarterback's coach up in West Anchorage High School. And so kind of a lot of cool connections there. We're excited to get him. And then Cruz Solek, the quarterback out of Chamberlain. Those two guys are really going to be a lot of fun to watch. They're just incredible competitors and athletes. But I really think that, you know, the defensive side is a lot of fun to see. Obviously, I'm pretty wired into the defensive side. I think we have so much skill. We talked about those guys, Cade Kaiser and Jackson Grevengood out of Roosevelt. And that crew is really good. But the defensive side with Miles Silas is a guy who was offered at Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, didn't do camps, kind of fell through the cracks, and we get him because we get his teammates that are here, Aiden Rowe and Noah Drager, who, you know, was coming down to the wire with us in Winona. And there's just a lot of good, talented guys there that really came down to the end. Noah Mooring Lane has some FCS full ride offers, and Kai Rigdon is a 3-star recruit out of high school. And that crew, that Mingo Lemley, a kid out of Washington that we got on, is maybe the best athlete overall in this grouping as a linebacker, and 200-some pounds. And it's just a lot of fun to see, putting the testing numbers to the film, to the character, and watching those guys kind of come together. But, you know, really what I'm probably the most excited about, Coach Schlichty says it starts and ends up front with the offensive line. We recruited a bunch of those guys. There's 8 of them. We love that group. Noah Drager, the kid out of Wisconsin. Joel Thomas, kid out of Columbus, Nebraska. Those are two heavy hitters that came down to the wire with us in Winona with Noah, came down to the wire with us in Northwest Missouri State with Joel. And to get those guys are instantly going to make our team better. But I love the depth that we have in that group as well.
Like they say, it all starts up front, right?
Yeah. It starts up front, and we recruited an unbelievable defensive line, which we need. We were heavy there last year. We lost a lot. We needed that. And in offensive line, you can never have enough of them. And it's way better to get them, retain them, recruit them, develop them, you know, as they're here, than to try to go out. You cannot find those guys in the transfer portal. And so those are what you're recruiting, better center around the offensive line. And, you know, I think overall we said we're taking a long-term view, you know, saying, hey, give us a couple years here. I know this year didn't go the way we wanted to, but give me 2 years. Give me 3 years. Let's see this group along with the group we brought in last year. I think that's really how we view you put together a class. What did you get last year? What do you need to fill in so that those two classes can be a championship squad as juniors and seniors? And I really think we hit on some great players last year. You also stick in Hank Kraft into that group and that class that's just above that. It's a really special, special last couple of classes here. So we felt like this was our championship class that we needed to put together. We feel like we did it. This group, and there's no question in my mind that this group is going to have the talent to compete for an NSIC championship and beyond. It's that good and has that much depth.
now the work begins for them, right?
The work begins now. This is just the fun day. This is the celebratory day. We all celebrate and party today, especially at Loggers at 5:30 tonight. Everyone come out and see us there. We'll do more of a deep dive into this, but we'll keep partying with Lowell and the crew at Loggers tonight at 5:30. Talk about it. Everybody welcome. Come on out and support football program, support Loggers Inn. And, you know, then we get right back to work. And all those guys got to get to work, and now they got to prove it. They got to prove what we've believed in them. And each one of them has expressed extreme gratitude, and they understand what they're getting into here, and they understand it's about work. And that's the kind of people that we wanted to recruit.
A little less than a minute to go now before we hit our final talk music bet out here. Spring ball's going so well. Going well so far?
Yeah, we've had an awesome, you know, being in the dome has been huge. Not that we weren't in the dome before, but there's so much more availability now and so much more accessibility. The city's been just amazing to work with there. Let's do all we can to keep that thing moving forward. Everybody get out there and use that as much as you can. That's been huge for us. I love our group that we have working the way they're going. We're starting spring ball the end of March. Look for some information. We're going to play a game this spring. So we have something cooking for April 20th. We will have a game that we'll play outside competition. It'll be a good competition. Get us ready for USD. So this spring game, the USD game to kick off the season next year, hey, we're getting ready to compete against anybody and everybody so that we have a chance to compete for a championship once we get into conference play.
You said April 20th?
April 20th.
Is that a home game?
It will not be. It's going to be a fun one. It's going to be a fun neutral site game. Ooh. So keep your eyes out for that. We'll put that out here soon, but probably hopefully within the next week. But that also gives our guys something to be working towards, that there's something you got to perform and improve yourself right now every day. And I think that just adds that pressure, and it's a lot of fun.
Fun neutral site game. My mind is racing.
We can play the guessing game.
Yeah.
Later, you know,
I'm going to tell one of you the real thing and one of you a fake thing, and then you guys got to sort it out and fight each other to figure out which was real and which wasn't.
Do like a two truths and a lie kind of
thing? Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, okay, interesting. All right, Coach, thanks for popping in today. Congratulations on a great class. Looking forward to seeing these guys, and we'll talk with you soon.
All right, thanks a lot, Tukes.
Thanks so much. That's Head Coach Mike Schmidt joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5 on the FM dial. We're back at it on Thursday right here on the Sports Hub on FSA.